And are there any comments tonight from the city manager?
Yes, Mayor and Council, I did want to take an opportunity to update the Council on the latest Carroll City County Communication Center Board meeting that we had last Wednesday. As you know, Mayor Jensen and myself are the two appointed representatives on the board for that commission. Chief Burke also does sit in those. And I know we've had some discussions over the last few years about some of the funding equity from the city's perspective on that board. And I wanted to go through a few of the slides that were presented just for the council's information. Certainly, I'm not going to go through this as elegantly as Jason Hoffman, who is the director of the Communications Center, but I do have up on the screen now, and hopefully they can be shown out to the broadcast community, a few of the slides here. This first slide that we're looking at shows the call count that's happened over the last several years. Now, this is total calls, and Chief Burke could probably emphasize a little bit more, kind of go in a little bit more detail, but this is more than just 911 calls. And like I'll show here in a minute, in 2019, for example, this shows a total call count of 17,080, but the total number of 911 calls in here is 4,382 911 calls. So this call count also includes just simple call for services that are coming in over the non-emergency number, but it also includes officer-initiated calls. So calls saying, for example, I'm going on a foot patrol would get logged in as a call. So this is not just necessarily even a call for service. It's just a call that's taken and logged within their system. So you can see the number of calls have went up over the last department, go down this year. So we received last Tuesday kind of a packet of information, and in it they did identify what they felt were what they called peer counties, and these were comparable counties that were both the five counties larger than Carroll County and the five counties as the call volume, both enhanced 911 calls, wireless 911 calls, and then total 911 calls. Owlwine is the largest city in that county. The city of Owlwine operates their own call center, but also Fayette County operates their own 911 call center. So they're totally separate. They take different calls. One's just city of Owlwine, one just Fayette County. So it's the only kind of real outlier out there. Otherwise, all the other nine are all, one is actually city ran. But this is kind of the geographical layout. This is, again, information that Jason Hoffman provided the board, and I'm just updating the council this evening on. Population, again, all these are very similar in size, not a lot of variance. And then you can see here is the 911 call volume for each of the counties that are involved. And if I remember right, Chief Burke, the plus sign means these are counties that have dispatching for ambulance service, if I recall correctly.
I believe the plus sign was the EMD, which is the emergency medical dispatch. So they run through a protocol of question taking based off of whatever the emergency is medically. That's called into the comm center.
So again, you can see this is Wireland 911 calls. This is a table then that shows the total 911 call volume. And what this was really setting up for, and the commission's talked about it for a number of years, but really just staffing that is happening at within the concerns that Carroll County. And there are calls that come in, and I do have to say, Jason and his entire team—they're professionals in what they do. The public and the interaction when there's an emergency situation that they're handled very professionally. They did actually play two different audio calls of emergency situations. Both of them were situations where the caller, if it was inexperience of not knowing how to do CPR or just the shock of the moment of what to do next, but really you could hear the professionalism of the dispatchers working with the caller to assess the situation and get them to start chest compressions. And to their credit, both of those calls were good outcome calls, and that's why they shared those in particular. We didn't have any names or any of that private data. But you really could hear the difference in one call where you had one dispatcher and how they handled that call situation and how that dispatcher interacted, but also then had to dispatch an ambulance and had to also do all the side work, where then the second call, you know, had two dispatchers on and how they were able to kind of tag team and handle that together, where one dispatcher could focus on the caller and really work them through. The second dispatcher really could then work and dispatch. So certainly, there's no argument that they really have to look at making sure that they have two dispatchers. And what this really showed was the various call centers and how many full-time staff that they work. And because of the numbers, they struggle having those two dispatchers on at all times. And from their perspective, and I'm not going to argue it, it impacts how they can then work through that emergency situation. So doing that, it really has what they're looking to do, and the discussion point was going into fiscal year 2022, which the commission was meeting to discuss and start working on, employee. And this would be the first of at least two that they would be hoping to add over the next few years. And you can see then, so for the current, of course, technology never works the way you want it. So you can see in the 2020-2021 budget year, the total expenditures was $518,000. And going the proposed budget, $181,000. So, I mean, it's a substantial increase to add that additional worker. Now, there's also a full-time employee, but it's a substantial cost. And I know the council 2 years ago had a lot of discussion during the budget season and really a lot of concern about how much comm center budget is really weighing on the taxpayer of the city of Carroll. And just to refresh the council, the comm center has been funded for a very long time. 50% of it is paid for by the city of Carroll, and 50% of it's paid for by Carroll County. Now, within Carroll County's portion, obviously, the city of Carroll taxpayers are taxpayers of Carroll. That was based on property tax values, I believe, from 2020.6%. So when you equate that and say the city resident pays 68.5% of the total property tax or the total bill for the comm center. And so, you know, we're paying over two-thirds of the cost to operate the comm center. And I think it's really asked itself, is it equitable the way it's set up? I really have to thank Laura for doing some of the legwork on this. We went back and contacted the largest city in each of those comparable counties. And really, in a nutshell, what this shows is three of the comparable cities pay no additional costs other than their county property taxes. So it's a countywide levy that is used to support the comm center. Three of those counties funding amount, one's 3,180, one's 28,000, next fiscal year is 38,000. And then three of them pay what I'd call a substantial contribution towards the comm center. And those range from 139,000 170,000 to 204,000. Then you had Olwine and the city of Olwine and Fayette County. So they operate, again, Olwine, if you recall, second, operate their own 911 in addition to Fayette County. So Olwine pays $200,000 a year. And I would start with do their own 911 dispatching and said, really, quote, here, we cannot continue to fund with the general fund. And that's where we fund it. That's the only levy we can use to fund really the comp center. Now, we do take some of our tort liability and our employee benefits, and when we can allocate those costs back to the comp center, we can. But most of it is coming right out of our general fund. The city of Decorah this year actually switched from a city-ran 911 that served the entire county to a 2080 that's ran out of the emergency management fund, the entirety of the cost that they were looking at. Out of these peers, and then you look at the city of Carroll, in this fiscal year we're paying $234,000, and under the proposed budget right now, that would go up to $237,000. And again, that really comes out of our general fund, and like I made a comment to the comm center, and that cost would continue to rise. It is really to a point that it is not manageable within our general fund levy, because we're limited particular levies that don't have caps, and I think that's where you see these other counties. It's really a countywide levy. It's landed. I think the question is, where do we go? You know, I've been here for now. This is the fifth Comm Center Board meeting on budgets that I've worked on, and I can tell you, even from my first Comm Center Board, and how this was being allocated to the city, and I know that the council has done that too, and I know my predecessor has questioned it. So this is not a new scenario, but I think when you consider really a comm center that serves the entire county. And additionally, you have other communities, and they need the support of the comp center too. But historically, when this was started, it was really just the city and Carroll County. And over the years, you've seen where, for example, the city of Manning discontinued dispatching. They came on to the comp center for dispatching. The city of Manning doesn't contribute anything towards the comp center. So I think it's really kind of come to a position of what is equitable. And from a financial standpoint, we can no longer, in my mind, estimate, continue to support the level that we are. And so I've really pushed with the comp center. We really need to look at renegotiating where we go with this, because it's clearly there's models out here, and even your comparables, they're being funded differently, and we're really have put a lot into what our peers are looking to be doing. I would also say I've never said that we should never not contribute, and certainly that's a policy decision I need to take, a direction I need to take cues from the city council on. But the one funding method that I have thrown out there for a couple years with the Comm Center Board is looking at the what is called the ISU Fire Services funding method. And, you know, I know years ago there was really a lot of debate in the fire services on how we fund the fire departments, especially city fire departments that serve areas within the townships. And it really looks at three components. It looks at property values as one component. So that's where one third of the formula comes from. Population, that's another third of the formula. And then calls for service, which is also a third of the formula. And then based on that, then a cost is allocated to all the jurisdictions. And that's what we use here at the City of Carroll. So we use the fire service formula for the township support that we provide fire services in. So there's a lot of different ways, and I'm not saying that this is it, because there's probably about 30 different ways we can look at it, and certainly I think it takes a lot of negotiation and discussion with the county. But running the fire service model and assuming that the county continues to contribute 50%, and then what contributions would need to come from other cities in the county, we looked at these. And some of these numbers are a little dated because, again, we don't run the comm center, so I don't have current numbers. Taxable values are a little, they're a couple years old, so they're not exact, but this should give the council really good, and even the public that's watching, a really good idea of what these work out to be. But if you just look at, and I'm going to use the city of Carroll, I'm going to highlight the line so we're all kind of playing on the same line. I don't know if Cat 6 can show this, or maybe they're already showing it. I'm not seeing it if they are, but so our population was 10,103, represented 48% of the population. 37.06% of the total taxable value in Carroll County in FY 2020, and then the total calendar year 2017 were 11,628, or 70.57% of the total calls in Carroll County for fiscal year 2017. Now, I'm going to pause on calls for a second. I think there's a discussion item that would have to happen on calls because, again, has done dispatching in the past. How much time does that type of call take? Is it like an emergency medical call?
Yeah, very limited. Excuse me. Just the entering the information is probably a 30-second at most time that dispatch needs compared to a traffic stop where you're monitoring the traffic or a 911 call, or much, much longer for those types of calls.
You know, so I think there is a discussion item on calls, and I think we need to look at what other counties do, because I know some counties use calls volume in their matrix on how they allocate costs out to the various jurisdictions. But I think there's a discussion item there that happens, even down to, I believe, when our officers call, that they're on duty and off duty is technically a call. Is that really a call of service? I would kind of question that. But that's the data we have, and that's how the calls are broke out in this case.
Okay. There are different types of calls for service. We're at 70.57. Has anybody ever broken, like done a pie chart or something to indicate the various types of calls per service, so we get a more accurate picture? When Brad said takes 30 seconds, and how many of those, you know, are 30% of the 70.5, 30-second entries?
They have those charts. I've seen them in the past. I don't have one.
I think that's really significant.
When we were at Fairview 24 hours a day, that was a foot patrol call, so every officer was creating that log. So it is skewed. That's downtown and walking through Walmart. It's a foot patrol call. We do a lot of that
stuff.
That's
just part
of our daily
activity.
There's a lot of those calls. I don't know the percentage. I wouldn't, 30% may be high, but you're probably not terribly off track.
I mean, because that is a big part of your job.
Absolutely.
Day in, day out. One other question. I know there are special levies, but they have to be voted on, like a special 20 up to 27 cent library levy, for example. There are four different counties that have a countywide levy. Are those voted on, or is that just an action by the supervisors?
I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on county levies. I don't believe all those levies have to be voter approved, and there's different avenues on those levies. So I know, for example, the Decorah one, it's actually an emergency management levy. I don't believe that's a voter, but I'm not going to sit here and speculate.
I was curious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very good question at the end of the day. So.
I'm Brad, either one of you, I got a question on this too. So when we talk this, we're talking 911 calls as kind of the category we say, but for example, somebody calls the 792 number to call in the comm center to complain about a barking dog. That's a call that gets logged in here and counted in these numbers, correct?
That is correct, yep.
Okay.
But that would not be a 911 call. So when earlier, if you remember, in 2019, when we said there was 4,000 some 911 calls, that those would be in addition to that.
Right, and that's kind of what I was wondering. When you see those numbers, some of that, what I call routine business, kind of Karen was alluding to, where those were counted into. So,
and currently our business line goes to the comm center. So if someone's calling for records, they're calling to set up a vehicle inspection. That's all filtered through the comm center first before it's transferred over to the police department. So, and those calls are not logged as a call for service, but they are still going to the comm center.
So we'll continue on, and so once you take those three components, again, population, taxable value, and calls, they're each a third of it, you end up with what is your total allocation each. And in this case, it is 52.05 would go to the city of Carroll, or of the $547,000, the city of Carroll would then be kind of required, or a contribution would be $284,896. So again, I think there's a lot of different ways you could say, how does that get paid for? Does the city pay that? Well, then every jurisdiction in the county would have their own component of that. Or do you first look at, okay, well, Carroll County, for example, is paying 50%. They continue to kick in kind of that 50% in. So when you look at the 50% of the 273,000 is their 50%, again, we would represent that 18.53%. That's what our taxpayers would be paying for through county property taxes, or $101,000. Now you subtract that off the $284,000, the city community contribution would be $183,476.77. I'm not saying this is the way, this is just one way that you could look at it different way. I think this is one formula, the ISU Fire Service Institute funding formula, that really has kind of been vetted for a number of decades. I think in the fire service world, they really have come to accept it. We've used this, Laura, since you've been here, correct? So, I mean, it's a longstanding model, suggests. It's more than just getting a call or call service, but it's also based on just having it available. You may never call 911 until you call 911. And that shouldn't be a free service, per se, until you just use it. So I think that's what the beauty of the fire service model is. It really does kind of give a fair, equitable loop in. And it's just, one method. So the discussion, as your representative, and I'm certainly looking for feedback from council tonight, I really did push that we need to really look at the funding mechanism. We discussed about it and frankly even suggested that the city maybe needs to consider withdrawing out of the 2080 because it is really a difficult position we're in as this funding continues to go up, because again, that 810 levy is not growing. It's been 810 forever. And it's the only levy we really can put towards the comp center budget from the city's perspective. And it's really becoming unmanageable for us as we move forward. And as these costs, as we add staff, balloons like we're seeing in the proposed fiscal year, upcoming fiscal year, it's really problematic. So I guess I did suggest that we may need to terminate the withdrawal out of the 2080. And part of it is, how do we get a negotiation? I know 2 years ago, and I'm not trying to place blame on anyone, we really did say we needed to have negotiations, and everyone, as we were working through the budget, was yep, we're going to do negotiations. And of course we didn't. And so we're kind of now back at the table again. It's like, well, how do we really get us to sit down? And it's definitely, withdrawing would be a big move, but it does get everyone at the table. And I've never suggested that the city shouldn't pay anything, but it's how do we get a fair, equitable distribution of the cost. So I'm going to pause there, kind of look for some feedback from council on thoughts. I can go into what it would take to withdraw out of the 2080 if you'd like, and kind of go through those mechanics if you'd like. This is just a discussion item tonight. There was no actual action requested for this evening, but I figured we needed to start somewhere.
Mike, with the 2080 agreement, what are the time constraints that might be up on us?
It's a good question. Like a good contract wrote, first written back in the 70s and updated, I believe, in the 80s, was not the clearest language in the 2080. So the 2080 talks about that if one of the jurisdictions wants to withdraw out of the 2080, they can do that. If they do it within the last 6 months of the year, doesn't define what a year is, that they have to pay 50% of what they would their obligation would be in the future fiscal year. They'd have to pay 50% of that cost. So we basically, if we withdraw in the last 6 months of the year, we'd have to pay 25% of the next year's cost. In another place, it does talk about that the commission shall operate on a fiscal year for budgeting, and that fiscal year budget, unless otherwise outlined by law. So reviewing with David Bruner, City Attorney Bruner, he was of the opinion that the withdrawal would be based on the fiscal year calendar. So we'd have to withdraw before the end of the calendar year by December 31st, or we'd be obligated to pay 50% of our normal cost in the following fiscal year. When we withdraw, it's immediate. We withdraw at that moment in time, and we would still be obligated to pay our costs through the end of the fiscal year, the way I'm reading that agreement. So if we want to take an action, if we want to withdraw on quickly, we'd have to do it by the end of this calendar year, by the end of December.
So is it safe to say if we withdrew, does that mean services terminate and then we would then need to pick up how those services would be handled within the city?
I don't have a great answer on that. I mean, first of all, the county is the PSAP. That's the point of contact that 911 calls come in. We can't have a second PSAP. The state wouldn't allow that. So they're going to continue to provide the 911 services. And I'm going to guess if you talk to the county, no, we're going to make sure the citizens of Carroll, like any other resident in Carroll County, would continue to have emergency services. So I don't think anyone would suggest that. I would also say that the county can't provide a level of service to one community in the county and a different level of service to another community in the county. So with that in mind, I would say they would be hard-pressed to say we're going to continue to provide dispatching for police to the city of Manning and Coon Rapids, but we're going to discontinue it for the city of Carroll. So I think that would be difficult to do because there's equity and, you know, the law says you have to treat everyone equal from that perspective. But it's a discussion item. I don't want to speculate how that would go. And I think negotiation and working with the county on trying to resolve this would be the best route.
I know for the 9 years that I've been on, this is a discussion point, seems every year. And I do appreciate the co-op that we have with the county extensively, but every year it just seems like we bring this back up. And, you know, the two big things that come out to me, if we're 48% of the population, but yet paying 68.5% of the funding, it's just not equitable. And I do think it's something that we need to look seriously at.
Yeah, and I agree it has to be equitable. It would be a failure, in my opinion, if we have to exit the 2080 agreement. And I really don't like having I can't make an intelligent decision between now and the end of the year as to how or where we should go with this. But I do have to believe that we've got to be able to work with the supervisors in some way, shape, or form to find a good, equitable solution for the financing so that the best services possible can be provided for not just Carroll, but for the entire county and service all of us in a good, fair way. I did speak with a couple of the supervisors today. I'll be trying to reach out to some of the others and trying to work with them to understand their side of the equation as well so that we can help them to help us. But this is important, and we need equity for the taxpayers of the city of Carroll, but we need to support the county that supports and takes care of all of us as well.
Without going into detail, Clay, can you say how those conversations went? I mean, did they seem to be received well?
Absolutely. Yeah, the conversations went very well. And, yeah, I hadn't seen this presentation. I know virtually nothing as far as details go as to how the Comm Center budget works. So from my council seat, I really want to learn a lot more about this before I start setting forth any decisions. But, you know, Mike, you brought up a great point. 9 years we've been circling around this deal. I spoke with Councilman Dirks before the meeting today, and he said, hey, remember a few years ago I brought this up too, and we need to address it. You know, Carolyn, you've got the longest tenure here. Have you been working with this the years you've been here as well?
It comes up frequently, and I think it is time we do something. Our budgets are all stretched, and I think the key to all of this and is looking at how we define together, city and county, how we define calls for service. Because we are being punished when our police department does its job. As Brad said, it's skewed. And I don't even know how many of these towns even have law enforcement. You know, the smaller towns that they do, if they're out just doing their job, then is it also skewed? I think we need to evaluate how we define it and recalculate this table. And maybe since it's a county levy, maybe they would consider, you know, looking at the particulars of a levy. And, you know, I think we all need to share the responsibility. Another thing Mike said, you know, we need to have this. We're going to contribute. And to me, it's like having insurance. You pay for it and hope you don't need it. And it's kind of comparable. But it will take work. But I think for us to work together, the work will be worth it. And in the long run, I think it's only fair. The burden is spread out and it's not skewed, as you just indicated, Mike. I don't know that it's going to take work, and I think we have a good board. Is there a sense that people are open to considering that maybe we can initiate?
Yeah, Mike, why don't you let me field that one for you, okay? this is contentious, Carolyn. Your points.
I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody about it.
You're spot on, though. Our budget's tight. The county's budget's tight. The Comm Center's budget is tight. And Carolyn, I think you're right. I think we've all got to pull together, us here at the council, the county. We've got to pull together and try to find a way through this and do it together. This is all of our homes. We owe it to the people of Carroll proper, as well as the county of Carroll, to get out there and work through that solution, no matter how challenging it may be. But I really believe that if this body and the county body work together, we can reach a resolution. But this is going to be a testy deal. How is that, Mike? Is that okay?
I think that's a great way of saying that. And what I would add is I think there's challenges, and you know, we are in a community that, you know, we value the services we get that are done very efficiently at a low cost. And I think there's a concern with the county that obviously if they take a bigger portion of the whole thing, well, that's shifting the burden. But I think from our perspective, we're really saying what's the right equitable burden that the city of Carroll taxpayers should be paying. And this isn't trying to add more to the city budget or whatnot. It's just a realization that there is going to be an end where the 28 or the 810 levy, the general fund levy, cannot sustain without impacting other services. You know, you just keep the 810 levy flat, That doesn't generate new dollars unless property tax values go up. And this year we're not looking at, I don't know if we've gotten any numbers yet, Laura.
We just got valuations late this afternoon.
Okay. And you don't, you've not studied those, I'm assuming. Okay. You know, we were looking at it really high level, and I think Laura and I were really, before we got the valuations, we're not anticipating, you know, more than a 0.5% increase. Well, when you're looking at large increases that are more than just a 0.5% increase, well, that just can't be sustained by the A10 levy anymore, because, you know, we've maxed that out. We certainly can move other things around, but it gets more problematic. And so this isn't about trying to add more to the city budget just so we can shift it to the county. It's just reality we live in within our budget.
Well, another thing, I mean, it all starts with defining the calls for service. And if these are skewed or misrepresenting the situation, I don't know, is there a need? Or, I don't know, I guess the county has to decide. Then would that impact their thoughts regarding a need for another staff person? I don't know. I mean, this is all new to me, but I think we all need to come to an agreement on what a call for service is and start from there.
And we can request that for a breakdown of what the different types are. I know it's a report that they can run fairly easily.
Oh, good.
So we'll request that. I guess, is there other information that the council would like that we can either get ourselves or request that would help you guys kind of formulate where the council wants to head on this?
And it would be interesting to see the breakdown for each of these towns.
I believe they can do that.
So we're comparing apples to apples.
So there are towns in the county that pay nothing for this, other than their county.
So the only two funders of the Comm Center are 50% the city of Carroll, 50% Carroll County. Mm-hmm. So
any other town, even one that has police services.
Right. So, for example, the two other communities that have police services are the city of Manning and the city of Coon Rapids. They pay nothing towards the Comm Center, but they still have dispatching and 911 services through the city-county communication center.
And of the 10 peer counties besides ourselves, well, let's go to 11 counting ourselves, we are paying the highest amount of the 11.
Correct. So of those 11 count of the 10 peers plus us, we contacted the largest jurisdiction in each of those counties. Mm-hmm. And we pay the most of all the largest cities in those comparable counties.
See, to me, that says something. That speaks volumes as to how much we're contributing now and why we deserve a break at this time.
And, I mean, let me pull it back up and we can kind of, let's go through each one of them. Because I think you have a very legitimate point. So you have this column that's city annual costs. Grinnell pays zero, you know, and they're a town of 9,200. Maquoketa, 5,990. You know, they pay $204,540 towards it. Now, that's a city-operated system, so they're a little bit of an outlier.
Did you check to see if they get reimbursed from the county?
2% of the total cost by the county, and three smaller towns that have police departments contribute 16% towards it. So the total cost is $480,140.
I'm like, real quick before you go on, and how did we come up with this list? Because this is different than usual we see in the budget.
That were identified by the county. So we just used their peer list.
Okay, thank you.
Plus it was fewer, because if you remember, our comparable, we have 17, I believe. So it was an easier list to go through. And some of these, like Grinnell, Mount Pleasant, Storm Lake, Decorah, Oskaloosa would also be our peers that we normally benchmark against. Mount Pleasant, Population 8,600, they pay $10,000 a year. O-Line, again, they operate their own 911 system in addition to Fayette County. In the city of Carroll, this current fiscal year, we're contributing $234,000 a year. Next fiscal year proposed right now is $273,653. Fiscal year 21 was $28,000, doing some equipment upgrades, and so they believe it'll go up to $38,000, pays $170,000. Formula of population and call service. So they use kind of there. Decora, 2080 emergency management system. Fiscal year 2000, I don't know what fiscal year this, but they reported, so I'm a guess.
Fiscal year.
$139,000. And they just had a change where it was the city of Decorah that ran that system. It's changed July 1 to a county-wide system, and that's what they're... Washington, population 7,266. They don't contribute anything towards the system. And Oskaloosa, population 11,463. They don't contribute anything towards it. So you can see, I think if there's anything that this illustrates is... approach it. It almost even looks like it doesn't matter if you're small or big. There's just a variety of ways and what city is contributing towards their emergency communication center budget. There's just one way that they're doing it. And certainly, even as I'm on the fire service formula, that's just one way we can look at it. I think there's probably a lot of other ways we can look at it too.
Is there a range for a levy, for the amount of the levy, Mike?
Or for each of these jurisdictions?
For just whatever the state code says for some, maybe we need, you know, I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
It would be good to do our homework and look at all angles.
Yeah. And we can easily, it takes us about 2 minutes to pull the levies for each of the counties, each of the cities. That would be really easy to do.
Yeah, I just wonder if they have what their levy rate is, and where the four towns that have the levy or counties. Pardon me, not towns, counties.
Now, Mike, this report that you've shown us tonight, this information, I should say, you got some of this. Sorry, had my mic off. There we go. You got some of this information that you presented tonight from the presentation by the comm group, and then you filled in some of the other through your own research.
So this table that's up right here was stuff that myself and other city staff worked to put together.
Mm-hmm.
The first charts that I showed, and I'll pull it up here, the number of employees and the call volumes, that all came from Jason Hoffman with Carroll County, and I believe he got it from one of the state boards that they work with, all the 911 dispatching works with.
I guess my point is that I would like to have a copy of that to review.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to have you forward that along to Jason and anyone else who might benefit from seeing it on the commission there.
All the information I put together was shared with the other members of the communication board. So they have all of that already by email.
Fantastic. How about the supervisors?
There's two supervisors on the board.
Okay.
Certainly I could send it out to the full board supervisors.
If you would, I would appreciate that, just so that they have the same information that we have as we move forward.
We've not had any feedback from them as to why they feel we should continue at the status quo. During these meetings, are they saying, they're saying, why would you not, or what, how are they justifying this?
I think they totally justify it just on the base on the number of calls of service. But I think that's always been a contentious point, at least from the city's perspective. As for, I think like any board that's responsible for budgets, I mean, your first hope is to try to limit any tax impact to your taxpayers. And I believe that's probably part of their thought, train of thought. Right. The 50-50 split is something that's been in place, for a very long time. I mean, it was in the first 2080 is my understanding. And I think when you look back that further and just look at how it's changed, it's more than just a non-emergency general number. It's 911 now, and the wireless has changed, and you've added other entities to the comm center. When this was first set up, it wasn't even fire department dispatching. Well, that's all done now through one central point. It just has changed dramatically, but that funding mechanism has really never been looked into at any great detail. I think that's the real question of, is it still equitable to the taxpayers of the city of Carroll? And I think that's the discussion I think the council's had that I've heard over the years of it isn't. And I think as the cost of the comm center goes up, it's just a point that I think we really need to look at. Where do we want to head?
You need anything from us right now?
I don't. Certainly, if you guys have other items that you would like us to explore, we're more than happy to have those discussions. I know our next board meeting is the 30th.
Of December.
Okay. So the communications board is having a meeting on the 30th. And certainly, depending on the outcome, there'll probably be more to come forth to the city. As we put together the fiscal year 2020 budget or 2022 budget, 2020 is over. It is trying. It's a trying budget this year. And it's probably more so than ever. And this is not the sole reason, but it's just one of the many reasons that it gets more difficult. And some of these areas that are just every year an escalator, I think we really need to step back and ask, is that where we want to continue going? I think we have to look at those things more so. And this is just one of those things that is come forth. That's my report. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a
thank
very
you.
Merry Christmas.
Mike, could you share these with us, the county's information?
I'll forward this after the meeting.
Oh, thank you very much.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, we'll be looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We'll have a vote. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm not used to that.
Katz?
Yes.
Seaman?
Yes.
Fleshner?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
We are adjourned.